Hello, my friends. It's Monday, April 13th, 2026, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, your Red State Refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, your Monday morning wake and bake, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in Southern Oregon. On this week's smoke session, let's talk about how Idaho Republicans are losing a fight to rainbows. The scrotus decides that sticks and stones may break your bones, but gay conversion therapy can't hurt you. And the teen fertility rate is down 7%, and that's not a problem. But before we get to all the serious political stuff, we've got time for three quick hits.
Go, Daddy!
I won't go, Daddy.
Let me go, Daddy.
Don't let him go, Daddy, please!
Daddy.
Well, it's great to be back in your ears after taking an extended bit of time off. All sorts of things going down, the most major of which was the migration of my website, RadicalRuss.com. Oh, what a migration it was. Let me tell you the story. So I got my website hosted on GoDaddy many, many years ago. I first started doing business with GoDaddy probably in 2008, I think, is when I first was starting to register domain names there. And I took them up on hosting sometime, I believe, in 2012 after I had left Normal, because I had to have a website of my own. I had to have RadicalRuss.com. And along the way, and I don't remember exactly when, I'm going to say 2016, along the way, I had to have a place for my podcast archives. And I'd done a lot of podcasts, thousands of hours of podcasts and special event coverages. And well, it totals about 150 gigabytes worth of data. So on GoDaddy, I had signed up for this WordPress hosting account. It was called Ultimate WordPress. And I remember, though I can't prove it, I can't find any documentation of it, but I remember it being unlimited storage. I remember that being a selling point of it, that it was unlimited storage because I have this 150 gigabyte archive. So I signed up for it. It was something like 33. Well, at first it was something like $15 a month, but it's gone up incrementally since then to about $33 a month. And I used an FTP program to manually upload my 150 gigabytes worth of podcasts archive to a little MP3 folder on my WordPress installation. Then I got all of my podcasts entered into my WordPress, which was a laborious task, believe me. Finally got it done, though. All the way back to 2006, every podcast that I have a recording of is on RadicalRuss.com on the unlimited storage of the Ultimate WordPress as hosted by GoDaddy, and everything was just fine, cooking along for years. Until last October, when suddenly $76 came out of my bank account. I'm like, what the hell? And it was from GoDaddy. And it was expressed to be for storage. Like, what do you mean storage? I've got unlimited storage. And then as the next month's bill came up, the next month's bill was, again, it's like $76, like double what I was used to paying. So I call up GoDaddy, and you got to understand, I do not like calling tech support. Because I used to work tech support, so I know what their gig is. I know how they have to read scripts and all that. And it just endlessly frustrates me. But I call up GoDaddy to find out what was going on. And it turns out that the Ultimate WordPress has a limitation of 25 gigabytes of storage. And if you want to have any more storage, well, then you have to buy it in 100 gigabyte blocks that cost whatever they cost. And that boosted me up to $76 a month. And I explained to the fella, I am on Ultimate WordPress and I've got unlimited storage. And he says, no, you don't. And explains that they've never had any sort of plan that has unlimited storage. I protest and say that was the very reason why I would sign up for this hosting service, is the unlimited storage. It went back and forth for a while. I couldn't prove that I had unlimited storage, and he couldn't find anything from any older than 5 years ago, as far as that goes. So there I was stuck. And he started to try to explain how I could sign up for a business account. With the business account, I could have more storage. But then we'd have to migrate your WordPress. I'm like, hold on, a whole migration. I haven't got the time to do that. And at this point, I got very frustrated and I hung up on the fella. And I resigned myself to the fact that, well, I guess I'm just going to have to pay twice as much per month for my website as I used to, because GoDaddy went and broke their contract. My theory is that I had uploaded it to this extra MP3 folder and they weren't scanning that folder as part of the storage, because it's kind of outside of the main content storage place for WordPress. And then by October, they got wise to what was going on and then started charging me. Anyway, that's my theory. So I let this go for, I don't know, 3-4 months, paying double what I was used to paying, until the financial burden became just too much. I can't keep paying double. I need to find a new website. So I remember when I was talking to the guy that I'd hung up on, that he was telling me about some business plan and maybe that would work. So I call him back, get some other guy on the phone, said, all right, let's talk about this business plan, what it might be. So basically what it boiled down to is I could have this business plan that would allow me to have X number of websites. Doesn't matter how many, because I only really need one. I think it was like 100 or something. X number of websites and a total for all of them of 200 gigabytes of storage. And it would only cost me $53 a month. And I'm like, well, okay, 53 is less than 76, but it's still more than 33. And I still have to do this migration, right? Well, yeah, you have to migrate all your stuff. And that's, again, a real pain in the ass. Okay, well, I guess we'll sign up for that. After this long old talk about how I could sign up for that, we get to the part where it's signing up for that. And he informs me that the $53 a month is, if you figure it, based on paying a 3-month contract in advance for $1,956 a month. I was like, wait, I come to you with a problem because my bill went from 33 to 76, and that's way too much for me to pay. And your solution is for me to come up with $1,956 on the spot? You got to be kidding me. So, no, he was not kidding me. And that's when I said, well, this is just not going to work for me, fella. You've just lost a customer. So hung up on him and started doing some searching for a new website. Found a host called Bluehost. Talk about a blast from the past, because before I had started with GoDaddy, I had actually done some business with Bluehost. It was recommended to me by my sister from another mister, Cannabis Carrie, a.k.a. Carrie from Oregon. She was dating a guy, and that guy recommended Bluehost to me. So I'd actually done business with him in the past, but they were like this little startup, kind of janky, you know, you had to kind of know your IT stuff. They didn't have much of a front end kind of thing. Well, not anymore. Oh my God, this Bluehost is like a major player now. And so they offered me a plan, $38 a month. So $5 more than I was used to paying, $38 a month, 250 gigabytes of storage. So more storage than what GoDaddy was offering me for the business plan at what? $15 less than what they were offering me on a prorated. This one I can still play monthly. So I'm only having to pay $38 a month to GoDaddy or to Bluehost now. So that's how GoDaddy lost a customer that they've had since 2008 by suddenly switching up a plan on me without any forewarning. I checked my emails too. There was no email saying, oh, by the way, we just noticed that you have 150 gigabytes of storage. We're going to start charging you for that. No, there was no pre-warning. It was just, boom, money came out of my account. So yeah, GoDaddy lost a customer and Bluehost gained one. And that's why I've been off the air for a while, because I had to do all this transfer of my website. And folks, let me tell you what that involves. Not only do I have to go out to GoDaddy and download the WordPress database, which is this little SQL database, that's no big deal, but I have to download the entire website, not just all my MP3 files, that of which there are 150 gigabytes, like I've mentioned, but also another 10 gigabytes of videos and posts and photos and everything else that's on my website that I've been posting on since 2003. So this is a 160 gigabyte transfer. I have to download the whole thing to my laptop first and then upload the whole thing back to the new host up there at Bluehost. And understand, I'm living here at Rolla J Studios in my secluded mountain hideaway, and the way that we get internet here is through T-Mobile Cellular. Cellular internet. So I'm downloading at maybe 100 megabits per second on a good day, if it's not cloudy, right? And then I'm uploading at something like 2. Like 2 megabits per second. It was crawling slow. So this past month, since the last time I talked to you back at the beginning of March, my computer has literally been working 24/7 with an upload queue in my FileZilla FTP program, uploading file by file, bit by bit over this slow connection. And there were some hiccups along the way, too. Like I had to, you know, tweak what the timeout would be because, you know, I'd set it with a big queue of files to go and then I'd run off to work and I'd come home and find that, like, only 3% of the files uploaded. What happened? Oh, well, you've got this timeout setting. And so when the cellular doesn't connect back and forth, it times out and the whole thing crashes. Oh, my God. And so I had to tweak that. And I have to tweak this other thing. And geez, finally, like a couple weeks ago, I finally get everything uploaded. But then that's not enough either, because then you got to tweak all the, you got to plug everything back in, you know, as far as the back end of the WordPress and all the plugins that do the, you don't need to know the details. All the stuff has to be fixed. So it's all been fixed. The website is up. There's been some redesign. I hope you like it. I've added my Radical Rust bass play along videos. There's now a video page that you can play from. So be adding more of those as we go. You got the blogs, got the podcasts, and now you got me back in your ears after what? 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Good to be back.
You are lucky to know no kings.
In our land, we have no kings.
There are no kings.
There's no kings here, sister.
Let there be no kings of England here to shit on Jefferson's Declaration of Independence.
Well, I did get a chance over the hiatus to go to the third No Kings rally that happened, what was it, March 28th. It was a great rally. We went out, Lady Love and I, went to the No Kings rally in Grants Pass, Oregon, which takes place on 6th Street, right in front of the Josephine County Courthouse. Now, you got to understand, Josephine County in southern Oregon is a Trumpy county. It voted for Trump. I think it was 62%. In the 2024 election. Also understand that the Josephine County Courthouse is directly across the street from the Josephine County Republican Party headquarters, where they've got their little We Remember Charlie Kirk signs and all the such. Anyway, the last few times that we've come out to do these No Kings rally and the hands-off protest before that, there have been counter-protesters across the street. At the first couple, we filled up most of the, I guess, going down the street, it would be the right-hand side of the street, in front of the courthouse, but then they had a sizable contingent, you know, maybe a quarter amount of the people we had, across the street with their MAGA flags and such. And then when we got to the second No Kings rally, we really pretty much dominated. We held 6 blocks along that right side in front of the courthouse. And then on the left side, many of our people went across the street, started posting up over there. And there were still a few MAGA. I remember there being maybe 8. Paired up, you know, with a couple of signs. And there was no confrontations, really. There was a few, you know, words spoken, but no, we get in faces or threatening violence. So went along pretty well. And there was one guy, I do remember one MAGA guy, who took his MAGA flag and he would come over to our side of the street and walk stride forcefully, you know, through the crowd, like, you know, daring someone to get in his way so he could bump him and whatever, right? And people were cool. People just kind of ignored the guy and let him pass on through. This latest No Kings rally that we went to, there were no MAGA. There were none. And we filled both sides of the street. We were like in full Antifa display right there in front of the Josephine County Courthouse headquarters. So it was a beautiful thing to see, the biggest turnout, and had some amazing signs. I made one for Lady Love that was a picture of Trump pointing and said, I ran up your gas prices, right? People loved that one. And then I made a sign that was acceptable kings in America and had pictures of like Carol King, Stephen King, Larry King, B.B. King, Freddie King, Albert King. And then I had Elvis and it just said the, the king. And in the middle, a picture of Trump and the mugshot picture of Trump with a big X through it, right? People like that one too. So I thought that's fun signs. But I got to tell you about something that happened here because I don't know, folks. Maybe I'm just getting older. I'm running out of fucks to give. I don't know, but I've become a little more confrontational in my old age. So we're posted up there, Lady Love and I, on the across the street side. When one of them anti-abortion guys shows up, and there's some regulars, okay? There's like three or four of these guys. You know the type. They got the little headset microphone with the belt pack, you know, amplifier, and the giant pictures of aborted fetuses, bloody, mangled, mashed up aborted fetuses, you know, with God condemns this, you know, whatever. This guy was there. He was also wearing a shirt that said homosex is sin, I think, if I remember correctly. This guy is there and he starts going off on his thing. You support murder, murder, you believe in murder, God said, blah, 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 murder, abortion, murder, right? This did not hit me very well. I already don't like these kind of guys because they're bullies, right? They're bullying women. And also, our family had just been through a terrible accident with our granddaughter. She was pregnant, 5 months pregnant, and lost her baby in a car wreck. And my lady love, you know, they delivered, she had to deliver the 5-month-old baby, 5-month developed baby, stillborn. And they held that baby and have pictures with that baby. And aside from it being, right, aside from her being intact, you know, deceased, but intact, she looked a lot like the baby that's mangled and bloody in this asshole's posters. And I was sitting there just thinking about how that must have been making my lady love feel. And also, going back to what I've always said about these guys believe in child snuff porn. That guy with the anti-abortion poster thinks that a zygote from the moment of conception on is a baby. That guy, in his mind, makes no distinction whatsoever from any stage of fetal development and a living, breathing baby. So from that guy's point of view, he is holding up a giant poster of child snuff porn. So, all of these factors coincided to lead me to get in this guy's face. And I got in his face. I started shouting at him. What's with all the dead naked babies? You like dead naked babies? What kind of fucking pedophile are you? Are you a pedophile? You like showing off dead naked babies? You like dead naked babies, don't you, you pedophile? I can see it. You like gay sex, too. Your shirt says it right there. You like gay sex with dead naked babies. And I'm shouting this fairly loudly. And very close to his face. And he's not pushing me or responding in any way. And this happens for a little while. And Lady Love's getting a little uncomfortable. And we turn away. I turn away from the guy for a little bit. And a fellow protester turns to me and says, hey, I have a megaphone in my car. I'm like, yeah, dude. He runs and gets his little megaphone. What are they called? Little handheld ones, you know? That you speak through, that amplifies. I'm going to call it a megaphone. Anyway, so he went and got his megaphone, fully charged. And so I held it up about 3 inches from that fucker's face and start going off. Dead babies. This guy loves dead babies. He loves dead naked babies. Pedophile here loves dead naked babies. Watch out. Keep your kids safe. Here's a pedophile who loves dead naked babies. And he couldn't get an word in edgewise, and people are starting to stare. People are starting to move back, too, because they're like, uh-oh, is this guy going to, you know, fight him or something? Because I am a big guy. I'm like 6'2", 220, so. But that's all I did. I just yelled at him through the megaphone until Lady Love finally made me stop and started asking, who gave you a megaphone? And the guy sauntered off, wandered away. So that was my adventure at the No Kings rally, because, folks, I've had it with those guys. Like I said, they're bullies. This guy is a bully. He hates women, and he hates the fact that women don't love him. He hates himself in various ways, and he's got this God complex that thinks he has the right to judge. Despite, you know, what people tell me about that book, there's something about judge not lest ye be judged, you know, speck in your eye, mote and log in the others or whatever. Yeah, awfully judgmental. And despite the fact that nowhere in that book is there discussion of abortion as a sin. And in fact, the places in that book that in the Old Testament address the laws regarding the death of a fetus, the death of a end of a pregnancy, punish that at lower values than they punish the death of a living human being. And there's the part about breathing the life into Adam and so forth. Now, I'm no biblical expert. I'm an atheist, but I've read the damn thing. Unlike these anti-abortion bullies.
Puppies are harder.
I wouldn't bring puppies into this world.
You know how I feel about baby dogs!
He'll direct you to the Colonel, and the Colonel will take you to your puppies and...
I hate puppies too!
Speaking of being confrontational, I gotta tell you the tale of what happened in the Walmart parking lot the other day. So, I'm out working, doing my thing, and I have to go to the Walmart. Actually, I don't think I was working at the time. Anyway, I had to go to the Walmart. So, the Walmart was pretty packed at this point, and so I was driving into the parking lot and coming down one of the rows, and there was an open space, I'd say about four spaces from the front door. And so I'm heading down to that open space, and I've got my blinker on to indicate that that is the open space to which I am going to park. And I'm just beginning to make the turn to that open space when suddenly this silver diesel pickup comes around the corner and comes past me, right? And so I can't turn into it, so he's kind of blocking the space, and then backs up into the space that I was sitting there blinking for. So the dude backs into the space, and I, apparently again out of fucks, slowly drive by the space with my head pointed straight forward and with my middle finger pointed out my window. Slow enough that he can clearly see that I am flipping him off. I think nothing of that. I go back and around to go up the next row to go park somewhere else. This dude has jumped out of his car and come cross through the parking lot aisle to get into that middle of that road to, like, be yelling at me for flipping him off. The guy's, I don't know, 6'2", 6'3", one of them Carhartt-looking guys. You know, fairly young, probably in his 30s, but he's pissed. Well, I just drive around him and continue going. And he apparently makes his way into the Walmart. And for a moment there, I thought, you know, I better not go to Walmart. This guy might be in there and I'm going to cause trouble. And then another voice came over me and said, you know what? Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. He's the asshole. I was clearly blinking. And if he doesn't like being flipped off, don't drive like an asshole. I'm not going to adjust my trip to the Walmart because this fucking guy couldn't handle being flipped off. So I drive up the aisle and have to park, you know, a fair ways up. So I have to walk way down, you know, 18, 19, 20 spaces to get to the Walmart. So I get into the Walmart, I walk in, and I have to go get something that's over toward the hair care stuff. Not for myself, obviously, for Lady Love. And that walks me around the corner to where the pharmacy is there in the Walmart. And there's a line at the pharmacy, and standing in the pharmacy line is that guy. Standing right there. Now, I don't think he recognizes me at first, but he does The minute I stare him right in the eyes as I'm walking by and hold up my right hand and flip him off, arm fully extended, finger directly at him, so that everyone in the line can see that I'm flipping him off. And I'm just walking by, staring him down, and keep walking. He gets gruff a little and says some shit like, go outside, want to go outside, or something. But he doesn't follow me. Okay, so I go and do my little shopping, right? I get my stuff, I go, I check out, and I'm thinking, okay, watch, this guy's going to be sitting outside waiting for me, wanting to start some shit. You just watch. So I get outside, but no, he's not. He's not out there. In fact, I see him hurriedly jumping into his silver truck and driving off. I'm like, okay, have a nice day. So I walk up the 18, 19, 20 spaces to get to the car. And my driver's side window is covered in spit. Not like one hawk tooie, but like this guy must have stood there for minutes, spitting and spitting and spitting and spitting on the window of the car. And the thing that really brings us home, this is my lady love's car that got keyed in Louisiana because it had a Harris sticker on it. And so to fix the key marks, we put puppy paw print appliques all along both sides of the car in yellow and pink and purple and blue, right? So here's a 6'3" Carhartt motherfucker standing at the puppy mobile. Pew, 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 pew. I just imagine people driving by seeing this guy going, Jesus Christ, this fucker hates puppies, doesn't he? And of course, for me, I'm just laughing because we belong to a car wash. You know, we have a monthly membership. It's just like a block away. So all I got to do is drive a block away and wash the car. But I'm laughing the whole damn time. Fuck you, puppy mobile.
Our top story tonight.
Our top story tonight.
Our top story tonight.
Our top story tonight.
I would say to simply try the gay agenda.
Let's say that we did schedule a meeting to discuss the gay agenda.
Well, so they can further their gay agenda.
That's the power of the gay agenda.
All right, that's the country baseline, and you know what that means. It's time for our Boycott Idaho segment right here at the top of the show. This is the segment where I explain to you all the myriad reasons why you should avoid the handmaid state. Now up to reason number 79 at RadicalRust.com/Idaho. That's right, Boycott Idaho. Do without potatoes, I guess. I don't know. What else could it? Don't go to Sun Valley to go skiing. I don't know. I'm not really serious about this Boycott Idaho thing because I still watch Boise State football games. But anyway, just a reason why you shouldn't want to live in the state of Idaho. There are plenty. And this week, kind of two of them to give you on the LGBTQ front, plus a little bit of hope shining through at the end. So join me on this one. Reason number 77 to boycott Idaho is they have banned transgender use of bathrooms aligning with their gender on the Trans Day of Visibility. That's right. March 31st, which also happens to be my dad's birthday, is the annual Transgender Day of Visibility. And it was on that day, as there were trans Idahoans and their allies holding a rally at the state capitol, that the Idaho governor, Brad Little, signed House Bill 752, the nation's strictest criminalization of bathroom use by transgender people. The ban applies not only to government and public buildings, but also to any private building accommodating the public. Henceforth, if a transgender person, quote, knowingly and willfully enters a bathroom or locker room that doesn't correspond to their sex as an infant, they are committing a misdemeanor that will land them up to a year in jail. That's right. A year in jail if a transgender person tries to use the bathroom that aligns with their gender identity. And if they do it a second time And not just in the state of Idaho. Your first strike can come from any state that has one of these bans. Do it a second time, and it's a felony with up to 5 years imprisonment. In a jail or a prison that corresponds with your baby bits, of course, not your current gender identity. God, in the legislature, there were the debates that included the usual gem state transphobia. Had Senator Josh Cole, a Republican from Twin Falls, who said, quote, "Trans women aren't women, they're men, and they need to be treated as such," end quote. Surprisingly, though, there was at least one Idaho Republican with some common sense. Senator Jim Guthrie, a Republican from Pocatello, noted, quote, "If they go into the bathroom of their biological sex, they're gonna upset a lot of people and freak people out. If they go into the bathroom that is consistent with their looks, they are knowingly and willingly going into the bathroom that is breaking the law," end quote. Yeah. Yes! Yes, exactly! What's gonna happen when a busty 5'10" blonde Stephanie in a dress and heels saunters on up to the urinal in the men's room? How are the women going to react? How are they going to react when the hairy, bearded, 5'3" short King Stephen comes moseying on through the woman's room? And would either restroom's occupants have even noticed if Stephanie and Stephen had used the restroom they presented as? And furthermore, not every Stephanie and Steven are trans. What about the cisgender Roberta, who's got a short haircut and masculine features, or the cisgender Robert, who's got soft features and gynecomastia? Cisgender people who aren't easily recognized as such are going to be caught up in these bans. And finally, as the Idaho's Fraternal Order of Police and Chiefs of Police Association pointed out, who's going to enforce this thing? Are we going to call the cops to the restroom to force Stephanie and Stephen and Robert and Roberta to drop trowel? Are they going to be the ones to determine if someone was acting knowingly and willfully, or if they were covered by one of the law's many exceptions? You know, there's exceptions in this law, like determining if the restroom was the only facility reasonably available or in dire need of urinating or defecating. Can you imagine? Ma'am, I'm going to need to inspect your genitals. Also, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is empty and 10 is currently shitting yourself, how badly did you need to defecate? Jeez, that's what we want our cops doing in Idaho. Patrolling the bathrooms to make sure everybody's using the bathroom that matches what a doctor saw between your legs as an infant. Does this make any sense to anyone at all? Of course not. But what it does make sense is to these Idaho Republicans and their Christian nationalist crusade to force gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, asexual, all nonconformist people back into the closet. That's what it's all about, because our next story happened also in the most recent week. Reason number 78 to boycott Idaho: a $2,000 a day fine for flying the pride flag. Now, we've talked about this before. Back in reason number 63, the boycott Idaho, is when we pointed out how the Idaho legislature has been in this ongoing fight with the city of Boise, mostly city of Boise. There's a couple of other little blue dots in Idaho out there. Haley, Idaho, for example, little blue dot out there. But mostly in Boise, Idaho, because Boise is, you know, a city, a cosmopolitan area with a world-class university. Okay, maybe I'm stretching it with world-class. A national-class university in Boise State University. They really have upped their game, folks. Let me tell you, Boise State's more than just football. They're doing some good stuff there. But Boise is a city, and as a city, it has arts and music. And that means gay people. And that means welcoming gay people and being happy to have gay people in your city. That's what cities are all about, is welcoming all sorts of people. That's what makes a city a city. So the legislature's been fighting with the city of Boise because the city of Boise keeps flying a pride flag up on the city flagpole right there at City Hall, right there in downtown Boise, which Boise, of course, is also the state capital of Idaho. So all these legislators from Firth and Athol and Sandpoint and Jerome and all these other rural, highly repressed Republican red Trumpy MAGA areas have to come into Boise and see all these damn rainbow flags. All this gay right there in their capital. They passed a law. This was back a year or two ago. Reason number 63. You can check it up at radicalrust.com/Idaho. They passed a law that you cannot fly any flag on government property. That would be city, county, state. Cannot fly a flag on government property unless it is an official state or city flag. So, of course, the very next thing Boise did was declare that the Pride flag, and for that matter, the organ donor flag, this is another flag they banned. The Pride flag and the organ donor flag were official city flags. There you go. Took care of that. Fly the flag. So the legislature came back. No, you can't do that. I don't remember how they've changed the law or fixed it, whatever. You can't do that. But the law didn't have any teeth. It was like, it's against the law to fly any non-city flag. Okay, so we're going to fly this Pride flag. What are you going to do about it? Well, there was no crime involved. They didn't list it as a misdemeanor or anything. They just said, you can't do it. And then they went and did it. So this year, the legislature finally got around putting a fine on flying the flag. And this fine went into effect on April 1st. So on March 31st, that same transgender day of visibility, the city of Boise was forced to take down the LGBTQ plus pride flag it had been flying in its long-running standoff with state government. So, as they took those flags down, because, you know, they want to pay, and it's $2,000 a day per flag. And the law now reads that you can't fly any flag that's not an official state flag, an official flag that's on this list that we at the legislature put together, or any official city flag adopted prior to 2023. That's to get around Boise back in 2023 declaring that the Pride flag would be an official flag. So there you go. $2,000 fine. Can't fly the Pride flag. So Boise took down the Pride flag, but guess what they did in response? The city council and the mayor passed resolutions and had it done immediately that all the city's flag poles were painted in Progress Pride colors. So the entire flagpole is one big rainbow, one big Progress Pride rainbow, atop which only official flags can fly. And then they also put a big banner, huge banner, like, I don't know, got 12 foot tall, 40 feet wide in the plate glass windows of the city hall right there in front of those with the Pride rainbow flagpoles in front of it. Big old banner. Huge rainbow Progress Pride colors. And a tagline that says, building a city welcoming for everyone. So stay tuned to this channel. We'll keep you posted when the legislature comes into session next and declares that all flagpoles must be painted gray or something. I don't know. I can't get over the fact that the Republicans and the Idaho legislature are losing a fight to rainbows.
What is the worst decision you've ever made?
I promise you, you're making the worst decision of your entire life.
The worst decision I ever made? The one I'll always regret?
This could be the worst decision you've ever made.
The worst decision I've ever made?
Worst decision that you'll ever make.
Sorry that you made the worst decision of my life!
On the national level, things also are going badly for the LGBTQ plus community. With the recent decision by the SCROTUS, the Supreme Court Republicans of the United States, that gay conversion therapy is A-OK. It's just fine. to torture gay kids as long as you just do it with words. This is in the case Sticks and Stones versus Break My Bones, I guess. I don't know where the logic is here. And the other sad thing about this is the decision was 8-1. Yet two of the liberal justices, Sotomayor and Kagan, joining in with the scrotus majority on this one. Only Ketanji Brown Jackson dissented, and strongly dissented. She dissented from the bench. And this is another one of these cases. It's just, it's remarkable. You remember the case about the gay wedding cakes, right? Where the scrotus decided, no, it's okay for a business to discriminate against gay people if it violates their religious liberty, right? Oh, my religion says the gays are bad, so I can't bake you a cake. Well, when they made that decision, the person who brought the case in that decision hadn't actually been harmed. Like, this person, not only was this person never asked to bake a gay wedding cake that might violate that person's morals, this person was never a baker. This person was never operating a bakery business. This was all a hypothetical, like, well, what would happen if, you know, I wanted to run a business and I wanted to run that business baking cakes and someone came in and wanted a gay cake and I'd had to bake it. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? And the scrotus said, yeah, that'd be awful. Boy, that'd be terrible if you had to give your assent to a sodomous marriage or whatever the hell reasoning they came up with. Well, this case here with the gay conversion therapy is the same sort of deal. This was a therapist who sued, who had never actually been doing gay conversion therapy, and when asked if she would, said she would not do it. But what if I was hired to do gay conversion therapy, and what if it was banned? That might hurt me, and the Supreme Court took this case up. Now, if you don't know what this whole gay conversion therapy is, it's when you take a kid who's gay, okay, and you take their left hand and you tie it behind their back, okay? You take their left hand and you secure it behind their back with like a rope or a belt or a cuff or something, right? So they can't use their left hand at all and they're forced to use their right. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting my conversion therapies mixed up. That's what they used to do to left-handed kids. Yeah, when they found out a kid was left-handed, this happened to my grandpa. I think even my mom, maybe. They found out a kid was left-handed, they would tie their hand behind their back and force them to write with their right hand because, you know, being left-handed was sinister. It was evil. It was of the devil. It was wrong. Well, that's what this gay conversion therapy is. You find a kid that's gay and you tie his gayness behind his back, or her lesbianness behind her back. You force them to be straight. You put them in to talk therapy with these so-called therapists, alleged therapists, who try to convert them out of their homosexual leanings. To force them to want to like to be straight and to present straight. Like it's a defect that can be cured. A disorder that you can overcome. And every major medical institution, pediatric institution, says this is horrible, it's abominable, it's akin to torture. That a kid is gay is just the fact that they're gay. It's no more different than if they had brown hair, or if they had dark skin, or they were left-handed. It's a variation that occurs in nature among damn near every species that we can observe. But the scrotus has ruled that this is okay because deeply held religious belief, First Amendment, blah, 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 blah. And I often wondered when this case came up, were they trying to make the First Amendment case on this similar to the First Amendment case that was in Conant v. Walters? Now, this digs back into my experience in the drug war. Back in 96, when California went and passed Prop 215 and made medical marijuana legal, around 1997, doctors in California could start recommending that their patients, and that was a requirement, had to have a doctor recommend that your patient have medical marijuana. Now, Well, you can joke about how easy that was and how there was doctors in tents at rap music festivals that are writing scripts to people in line to be able to get their medical marijuana cards. We can joke about that, sure. But the doctor was a part of the deal. The doctor had to recommend medical marijuana, something that the Clinton administration attacked. Bill Clinton's administration and his drug czar, John Walters, went after the doctors in California that were recommending medical marijuana. They threatened the doctors' licenses to prescribe other controlled substances, because you weren't prescribing marijuana. It's a Schedule I substance, but you might be prescribing oxycodone. You might be prescribing Valium, and the government can control that. And so they were going to take away the prescribing privileges of any California doctor that recommended medical marijuana. And this case went all the way to the Supreme Court, Conant v. Walters, and the Supreme Court ruled that no, that's a First Amendment right. Doctors have a First Amendment right to say that medical marijuana could help their patient. And I wondered, was that being brought up in this case with gay conversion therapy? That it's a First Amendment right for a doctor to recommend that a gay kid act straight, even though it's been shown to quadruple the kid's risk of suicide, even though every major medical organization is against it. Because you could have made those arguments against medical marijuana back in 1997. Every major medical organization was against it. You could cook some statistics to maybe show it was harmful. But I didn't see any of that in the coverage. I guess that didn't apply somehow. Conant v. Walters didn't apply in this particular case. But it's an abhorrent decision. And I believe the two liberals dissented separately. And it might be one of those kind of situations where, look, this law is too broadly written to completely ban anything a doctor could say about turning from gay to straight. I don't know. Maybe the liberals are trying to get it sent back to the state to say, hey, craft this a little more carefully. I don't know what has to be crafted here. There's a situation where in these states that allow it, parents can take their gay kids and forcibly lock them up in these gay conversion facilities where they're bombarded 24/7 with the mantra of how evil and terrible they are, how they're inherently wicked for being gay, and how they must change and must accept a new way of being. God, sounds like I'm describing a church, doesn't it?
An arrest warrant was issued for Epstein for sexual assault of a minor.
Yesterday, in front of everybody, he made Epstein unscrew the top of his head and take his brains out.
Mames assigned all of her royalties to the Epstein home in Mountebank.
Did you hear what I said? Epstein?
Meanwhile, at Rolla J Studios, nobody. In Oregon, nobody. In the United States, nobody. On planet Earth, nobody. Melania Trump?
The lies linking me with the disgraceful Jeffrey Epstein need to end today.
Oh, yeah, Jeffrey Epstein is back, baby. We couldn't bomb our way out of this. Oh, my gosh. This is the story of the weekend. Melania Trump coming out of nowhere, apparently. And, of course, everybody saying she's trying to get ahead of some story. Why would she come out here and deny her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein?
The individuals lying about me are devoid of ethical standards, humility, and respect. I do not object to their ignorance, but rather I reject their mean-spirited attempts to defame my reputation.
And again, who was doing this? Like, we hadn't been talking about Epstein for weeks, and when we weren't really bringing Melania Trump into this at all, were we? We talking about Lutnick and Bill Gates and Steve Bannon, and nobody was talking about you, Melania.
I never been friends with Epstein. Donald and I were invited to the same parties as Epstein from time to time, since overlapping in social circles is common in New York City and Palm Beach.
And of course, everyone now on the timeline is flooded with all the various pictures of my favorite one, the four of them, Trump and Melania and Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, where Melania is saucer-eyed as hell. She is high as a kite, ladies and gentlemen. I know my high. And that girl is sailing.
To be clear, I never had a relationship with Epstein or his accomplice, Maxwell.
That's interesting that she calls Maxwell the accomplice here while Maxwell's trying to paint herself as, I was just a victim, I was just helping, I had nothing to do with it. No, she was the accomplice. So there's Ghislaine Maxwell getting thrown under the bus by Melania Trump. That's a great thing to see. But she's saying she had no relationship with Epstein. She's trying to get ahead of all these rumors here that not only did Epstein introduce her to Trump, but that he had been diddling her for the year prior. That's what I hear going around.
My email reply to Maxwell cannot be categorized as anything more than casual correspondence.
Yeah, we've all seen the email. This is the one where she's saying, love, and when are we going to see you next? Oh, here it is. Dear G, how are you? Nice story about Jeffrey Epstein in New York Mag. You look great on the picture. I know you're very busy flying all over the world. How was Palm Beach? I cannot wait to go down. Give me a call when you're back in New York. Have a great time. Love, Melania. Yeah, it's just casual email correspondence that one would have with the accomplice of someone who had admitted to trafficking women, to soliciting the prostitution of a minor. Yeah, okay, so just casual correspondence there.
More than a trivial note.
A trivial note. Trivial note. A trivial note. This woman's been in the country for, what, 3 decades now? Still can't read English.
I am not Epstein's victim. Epstein did not introduce me to Donald Trump. I met my husband by chance at the New York City party in 1998.
Slight correction. You met Marla Maples' husband in 1998. He was married to Marla Maples at the time, and Marla Maples met Ivana Trump's husband back in 1994, you see. So, yeah, cheating on the cheating on the cheating on the cheating on, and then cheated on all of you with Karen McDougal, and then cheated on her with Stormy Daniels. But go on.
This initial encounter with my husband is documented in a detail in my book, Melania.
Leave it to Trump to actually be pushing the grift in the middle of a face-saving press conference. It's just crazy. And of course, as time went on, after she made this announcement, we found out what was going on in this situation. And that is a former model who was part of this, this Paolo is this fellow. Okay. Donald Trump's special envoy. His name's Paolo Zampoli. He was married to this Brazilian model named Amanda Ungaro. He got married to her when he was in his 30s, like 34 or something like that. She was 17. Yeah, so she was 17, got married, and they've had a divorce, broken up. And so to get her out of his hair, Paolo reached out to his buddy Donald, got a hold of the folks in ICE, rounded her up, and deported her back to Brazil. So now she's going scorched earth and has posted on Twitter in a reply to Melania, I will tear down your corrupt system even if it's the last thing I do in my life. I will go all the way. I am not afraid. Maybe you should be afraid of what I know, of who you are and who your husband is. Ooh, boy. Yeah, it is happening, folks. The Melania Trump thing, the Epstein files are back. And once again, this is the Epstein files, this whole Epstein class thing is at the nexus of two aspects of this American fascism under which we're living right now. And the one aspect is that whole untouchable two levels of justice, you know, one for the underclass where the laws bind us but not protect us, and one for the upper class where the laws protect them but don't bind them, right? Yeah, that upper Epstein class, they can get away with the most heinous crimes possible because they've got enough money to settle it. All these settlements that have been paid out by the banks and by the Epstein estate, they're rich enough, they can get away with it. So that's one aspect of this, and it ties into this, you know, pedophile sex trafficking thing as just one of the many crimes they can get away with. There's also the murder, and there's the torture, and there's the mass money laundering, and the corruption on a global scale. The pedophilia thing is one aspect of that to them. But another aspect of this has to do with the rank and file MAGA, the white voter out there who still, as Mecca points out online, Blackstradamus points out online, white people still support, by a 51% majority, support Donald Trump's handling of immigration, support what ICE is doing. Even after Alex Preti and Renee Nicole Good were gunned down on camera, multiple angles, 51% of white people still support Donald Trump's immigration push, his ethnic cleansing of this country. And one aspect of that, and it ties toward this Epstein thing, and it's one of the reasons why I think, you know, there's people here on the left that think, boy, once the Epstein files are released, once there's incontrovertible proof that these men had been having sex with 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-old girls, boy, once the truth is out, boy, the walls will come tumbling down. Yeah, not for some of them. That's biblical Marian age. There's a whole cohort of Americans, highly religiously indoctrinated Americans, overwhelmingly white Americans, who think the 15-year-old should be bred, that the young ones should be married off to the older ones, that the older, powerful men should have at least one young bride, if not more. Why? It's ordained by God. And to that end, I give you this clip that came up on Fox News in my feed just, 3 days ago.
Well, new data from the CDC shows the U.S. fertility rate reached another record low last year, only 53.1 births per 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. So that continues a nearly two-decade-long trend. Let's bring in Dr. Mark Siegel, Fox News senior medical analyst, and, of course, the author of the most amazing book, The Miracles Among Us. Okay, here's the fertility chart, just so everybody can see this. I don't think this trend is not going to be a big surprise to people, but the numbers might feel a little shocking. How do you see it?
Absolutely. We still have 3.6 million births a year, but the problem is teens and young adults. From ages 15 to 19, the fertility rate is down 7%, and it's down 70% over the last two decades, meaning we're telling people that are young not to have babies, to wait till they're in a more stable life situation, till they're more financially secure, maybe they haven't found the right partner.
So the problem, he says, is that the fertility rate for 15 to 19-year-old teenage girls and women, that their teenage fertility rate is down 7% and 70% over the past couple of decades. By problem, he doesn't mean it hasn't gone down enough. No. They see this as a problem that teenage girls aren't having enough babies. Now, you dig a little deeper into this, and it's really the problem that white teenage girls aren't having enough babies. Because this ties into another thing on the MAGA right, something they call the Great Replacement Theory. This idea that all the brown people are having too many babies. And the white people will go extinct because everybody will be turning brown. Which is a dumb thing, first of all, because you already set up the rules for your own extinction when you made the one drop rule. Like, you defined yourself as a race that must be pure to be a race, and every other race doesn't have to be. Well, the math is against you, my friend. There's just no way you can win that. If white plus white equals white, but white plus anything else doesn't equal white, you're bound to lose. That's just, you picked a bad definition, man. It also underscores, I always thought that the whole one drop thing kind of underscores a sense of white inferiority, right? Like, if white were so powerful, if white were the master race, wouldn't white overcome black or brown? Wouldn't any baby that had a drop of white blood in him be white because of the master race power or something? That's just ridiculous. All this racial shit is ridiculous anyway. But anyway, yeah, that's their theory. The great replacement theory is that all these immigrants are coming in. These brown skin, black skin immigrants are coming in and they're having 5, 6, 7, 12, 10 babies each. And we need to get back to the old days when women, you know, they got pregnant by 15 or 16 and they pumped out 6 or 7 kids of their own, 6, 7, 8, 9 white kids of their own, and stayed at home and raised the household and the whole family and blah, 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 blah. That's what they want to go back to. They want to go back to the 1600s, for fuck's sake. And it's about time that Democrats call them out on that and start positioning ourselves and start framing ourselves as the party of the future, because now we're no longer separated by oceans. We're no longer, we're the greatest country and can boast that because we can't see any of the others. We've all got the internet now. We've all got FaceTime. We've got video cameras and chats, and we're looking across oceans and seeing over the Pacific Ocean, they're running bullet trains. They got bullet trains running everywhere in Japan and China. I saw a video of China, BYD, EV manufacturer. They're putting out electric vehicle sedans at under $9,000 base cost that charge up as fast as you can fill a gas tank. These batteries that charge up in like 3 minutes, 4 minutes to give you 300, 400, 500, 600 miles of range. I look over the other ocean. I look over the other ocean, the Atlantic Ocean there. You see them putting solar up everywhere. You see countries like Scotland getting almost all of their power from renewables, wind and solar. And offshore, what are those, tide turbines? You see countries going crazy with solar panels everywhere. You hear tales of people going abroad, Americans who go abroad and get injured or get terribly sick, and they tell this story about how they go in and out of the hospital. It takes them an hour and a half and ends up costing them $37 for all the procedures and tests and the pills and whatever. We're hearing these stories. We see these in our Facebook feeds, our Instagram reels, our TikToks. We see it. We see the rest of the world moving into the future, moving away from fossil fuels, moving away from destroying the environment. You can no longer fool us into thinking we're the exceptional nation anymore. That's where they want to take us. They want to take us to Gilead. They want a white Christian nationalist homeland where the black and the brown people know their place, where the women are home raising the babies, at least 5 of them. Men are in control of anything and deregulated to the point they can take whatever they want, wherever they want, however they want. And it's time for Democrats to stand up and realize that, no, we've got to recognize that we're the part of the future. The future is gay. The future is female. The future is black. The future is brown. The future is Mandarin. The future is Muslim. The future is atheist. The future is marijuana. The future is space flight and travel. I mean, God, how excited were we all for this Artemis mission going around the moon, the farthest human beings have ever been from planet Earth. And 2 of those human beings were not white men. And the crew, the mission control crew down there, filled with black women and Indian women and Hispanic women and gay men and white straight men too. A place for all of us in the future. And how excited we are, we're all watching this mission and watching the splashdown. And I had so many people on my feed that were saying, you know, I wasn't tired of space travel. I was tired of SpaceX. I was tired of billionaire vanity projects. Sending Gail King and Katy Perry up into space didn't thrill us at all. That sending four anonymous astronauts from our own, for our collective effort through NASA, through our government. And yeah, sure, there's private contractors that NASA works with to get all that stuff going up there, but it was under our name. Something for once that we can be proud of the United States doing over these past decade, not being the pariah to the world. I don't want to get too far afield on this. The main point is Epstein is back, and the Epstein files represent two sides of this American fascism. The Epstein class, the two Americas, the division of justice, and the push for white Christian nationalism and the reversion to a Handmaid's Tale America. That's why that story won't go away. So thank you, Melania Trump, keeping it in the news. And that's the end of this joint, my friends. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. News, music, video clips, and social media posts are reproduced under fair use copyright laws for commentary and analysis. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by Russ Boom Boom Belville.
What's the boom boom for?
Boom boom boom.
Which brings us to our post-credits scene.
Oh, God, not again.
Is that absolutely necessary?
I don't think that will be necessary.
So you notice I made it through this entire podcast without mentioning what Trump is up to. Nothing about losing the war in Iran and him telling to open the fucking straits, you bastards, and promising the end of the civilization, but then tacoing on it and then publishing a snuff video of a woman getting beaten to death and commenting that the Pope better watch his ass and he could be subject to an Avignon papacy, and somehow the Pope is weak on crime, and this morning he posts a picture where he's like Jesus Christ. I mean, everybody keeps bringing up 25th Amendment, impeachment, man. This is just ridiculous. And for the Trumpers out there, I didn't vote for this. Come on now. Come on now. You voted for all of this. You voted for the whole package. You voted for this idiot that we told you time and time again was a treacherous terrorist, traitor to the United States, a serial fraud, con man, liar, a man who cheated on his first wife with his second wife, who he cheated on with his third wife, who he cheated on with a Playboy playmate, who he cheated on with a porn star, who was sneaking into the Teen USA pageants to look and gawk at 15-year-old, 16-year-old girls when they were naked. The guy who was lusting after his daughter Ivanka, saying if he weren't her daughter, he might be dating her, how she's got such a great body, and how Tiffany might also have a great body. We don't know if she's got the breast department yet. This guy, who was impeached twice, who led an insurrection, who looked at an eclipse with his bare eyes, who brought football players to the White House and fed them hamburgers, who is gilding the Oval Office with enough gold to make Liberace choke and puke. You voted for all that. You voted for that guy because you couldn't stand Kamala Harris's laugh, or you thought Hillary Clinton was a bitch, or Joe Biden was going to institute Jade Helm and have some big company monitoring all things about Americans, like Palantir is doing, like Elon Musk is doing. Everything you predicted that Democrats would do, the Republicans have done or are planning to do. You voted for all this. So, if you are one of these triple Trump voters who'd like to be forgiven, you can be forgiven, but you need to be wearing a hat or a t-shirt from now on that says, Hillary, Joe, and Kamala were right. You can contact me by email at radicalrus@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as radicalrus.com and nowhere else. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at RadicalRuss.com, the newly redesigned RadicalRuss.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next week, take care of each other. Hey, hey, hey,